This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
With your arms around me, my heart was light and gay. Now I take in washing every day. I don't know why I stand for you. What should be done, I can't make you do. So silly, hat in your hand. Here you come with love. The rent's overdue and the telephone's dead. Icebox and kitchen both in the red. When I need gravy and I'm just crying for bread. Here you come with love. And when I speak to you about finance, you always say you understand. But how come you bring me all that romance without a nickel in your hand? The clock striking six, you acting sweet. Won't do no good, there's nothing to eat. Shoes old and dusty, patch on your pants. And here you come with love. Honey, your shoes old and dusty, you got a patch in your pants. And here you come with love.
And that's the sound of Miss Pearl Bailey here on K108. And that song means it's time for the Carol Cox program here on AM 1080. If you have any questions for Carol Cox today, our number here is 524-1080. That's 524-1080, and now here's your host, Carol Cox.
Good morning, Francis. Good morning out there, everybody. I'm happy to be back, and once again, every drive here this morning, other mornings, is just absolutely stunning. The sun pops up over the mountains, the Ko'olau's, and I'm just really motivated. I'm just motivated anyway to wake up, but the color adding to it, and it's just like an orchestra and an artist get together and get to work every morning here in Hawaii. So, anyway, we got some good news, and we're just going to talk about many of things, and do feel free, if there's something out there that you want to talk about, please feel free to give us a call, 524-1080, and we're going to post some of this information that we have, again, as usual, on carolcox.com. That's CARROLLCOX.com. Anyway, what we saw is recently, we got an infusion, or the bailout package. I was reading the papers and looking at TV. We're going to get $1 billion, and or something to that tune. And I was thinking, what is $1 billion? What would that be like? What could be used for, and how would they use it? And then I thought, wait a minute. We just had a ship to come run on ground just in a basic mistake or misstep by the Navy, the Port Royal, and that was $1 billion. So the question is that all we get, or is that enough? So maybe we if we were taken and salvaged that Port Royal and scrapped it for metal, maybe we could have got $1 billion too, so we'd have $2 billion. Just joking, but again, what that brings me to is we had talked earlier about military and the activities here on the islands and its impact and oversight and our senators and congressmen going abroad and bringing back the pork and bringing back money. And you may have heard me say that some of the concerns is the environmental oversight that these projects bring. They pose threats and risks to the fragile environment here in Hawaii. And so the comment was made, I made, what do our senators and our congressmen do to ensure that if they bring in new programs that may impact the resources and in our environment here and the population, what do they do? Do they bring extra money to hire extra regulators and enforcers, or do they just keep bringing in things that drain the resources that we have for regulatory? And so what I thought was quite interesting is that we know that the boat run aground and things happen. I mean, you can't have a perfect world, and the Navy and anyone, even if I, when I worked as a patrol boat officer in California, we had our calamities, and we had an occasion to bang the prop or bang the stern on the rock out at Catalina Island on the backside or what have you, and things happen. That's when you're doing your work, or fortunately, we were doing our work, so that happens. But the problem is, if you may have heard in the news that the Navy failed to convey or tell or inform the State Health Department, Clean Water Branch, that about 5,000 gallons of raw sewage was dumped in this incident. And something as simple as that, they failed to tell the State Health Department. Why do you think that happened? Well, first of all, if they knew that, then they should have reported it just out of good citizenship. They stand to protect us. Don't spoil our environment while claiming to protect us, number one. And I was out there photographing this vessel during this grounding, and there were people coming and going like you and I to go fishing and diving and jet skiing and out of the harbor there, and not a single person was contacted. We had three Coast Guard vessels in training, I guess, how to tow the vessels, but not a single one of them notified the public or approach the public to say this water is contaminated or what have you due to sewage spills. So that's a not a black eye, but a black mark on the Navy's practices here. And we've pointed out we get chased off the beach. So are they good neighbors? And share with me, what do you think? Is it are we overreacting, or am I overreacting or expecting too much to have the Navy simply inform us and treat the environment with a greater sense of sensitivity rather than just dumping sewage and other things, and then failing to tell us, and then when caught, say, well, by the way, we're able to dump this anyway in the ocean. Well, maybe that's true, but you don't have the recreational activities so closely situated to the shore, and hopefully you're not dumping it close to the islands if it is your common practice. So that's something that really, really creates a problem. And while speaking of that now, you know the 5,000 gallons that occurred that was dumped intentionally. It was around the February 7th to approximately 10 a.m. on February 8th. And the state says they provided me with their release. No official notification given to the Department of Health, even though two DOH staff persons attended a meeting at 2 p.m. February 8th, 2009, in Building 150 at Pearl Harbor Naval Station, a naval base. So what do we got going on here, folks? As I say, the military and its personnel are simply, they're part of the community. They're protecting the country. They're protecting us from terrorism and what have you. But I don't believe that that gives them a license to simply go out and do what they've done, to dump on us and what have you. But at that same period of time now, the Clean Water Branch was notified by the Navy of a 12,700-gallon bypass of treated but not UV-disinfected effluent from the Navy's Fort Cam wastewater treatment plant. The bypass was due to a power outage. So, again, bring on these projects and these pork projects. Bring on the money, as one would say. But in doing so, bring on the regulatory efforts and bring on the honesty and the openness and the transparency. We can't continue to bring in the Striker, the C-17s, the Raptors, the increase the ship traffic here. And then in turn, you see the population of the numbers of enforcers or regulatory bodies or scientists to monitor this just simply dwindling, and we're increasing the impact. So, and we need to think about that. We need to ask ourselves, what are we really accomplishing? Why protect it or destroy it if we simply just doing our thing with trying to build a better military? And I don't believe that there is an explanation for it or a reasonable one anyway. Don't destroy what you're trying to protect. So, anyway, you take, for example, some while back I've shared with you and discussed the situation at, let's say, Wheeler and Schofield Barracks. They have a sewage treatment situation there, and they tout it as being an upgraded primary, tertiary, or what have you. It's the state of the art. But here's the problem. It's inland, and where do they dump the treated effluent when it's done? Well, the treated effluent is dumped in a Dole food, a Dole agriculture or ditch that flows out through Wailua, and that water is then used for irrigation. And the actual intent is to dispose of sewage water now. And we call it effluent and what have you, but it's still sewage. And it does not qualify as R3 or R2 or R1 reusable, because we don't really know, and they don't know the contents of it. And though they say it's R3, but no real conclusion has been made by the wastewater branch at the state health department or any other department. So they're dumping this water in the flume. If you ever going out back of Schofield Barracks, you'll see, and you'll smell it before you see it. And going over the Kaukonahua stream is a flume that comes out of the dam at the toe of the dam, the Wilson Dam, Lake Wilson Dam, and that is city effluent water. And the military say, well, we're not dumping in Schofield Barracks, so we're actually dumping in the irrigation ditch. But all in all, what happens is it is put in that ditch and then sent out to the various farm areas, and some of it percolates, because this is not a lined ditch, and a lot of it is percolating down into the groundwater, and some of it ends up out in Wailua, and people are out there trapping fish and spearing fish, and in some of the ditches and crabbing and what have you. So This is what we have, and you can see some of this. We've posted a while back up on EnviroWatch at EnviroWatch.org or EnviroWatch.org. You can go there and look. But basically, those are some of the concerns that that are going unaddressed here with the military impact, and those of you that probably think I'm crying sour grapes or have a axe to grind with the military. No, we have to look at all aspects of when we talk about whether it's alien species or we talk about human population growth, sustainability as we now talk about it, and we talk about greenhouse effects and global warming and what have you. But there are other elements that are chipping away. And the biggest element is human behavior and the neglect. So if you see your senators, Senator Inouye and Mr. Akaka and Congressman Abercrombie and Ms. Hirano, Congresswoman Hirano, let them know, thanks for bringing us to port. But after frying the port, we're going to have something called leftover grease. What do we do with that? Do we pour it down the sink and clog the sink? Or do we put it on the ground and kill the grass? So the pork is good, but also pork can bring some bad side effects. So keep that in mind, and hopefully we get ourselves up. We're not going to have a perfect world, I can assure you of that. Even when we get it perfect by our standards, it won't even come near to what perfection really is, because the environment takes care of itself, and all we need to do is set up something or intervene or cause some catastrophic failure that we won't notice in our time, maybe. So let's be cognizant of that and ask more of our legislators. So if they tout they brought in $1 billion, ask them for $1,500,000 or $1 million to provide monitoring, water sampling, and all of those things, and have that information available to the public in a fashion that they can understand it, and not in a scientific language that we still have to hire someone and trust someone to interpret it for us. But what we're going to do, we're going to take another stroll with Miss Pearl Bailey. I just feel pretty good about this, and hopefully if you got any questions, give us a call.
I've taken dinner with my good friend, Mr. Skinner. Mr. Skinner sent a Cadillac of blue. I've taken Mr. Skinner's Cadillac right back, 'cause I've taken a fancy to you. I've taken supper with my good friend, Mr. Tupper. Mr. Tupper sent me diamonds 22. According to the rules, I could have kept the jewels, but I've taken a fancy to you. No more martinis with Mr. Sweeney's. I refuse the mink I got from Mr. Link. I've surrendered my title to the Earl of Beetle Vital, and my dog to travel, you can take your Texas cattle. I've taken coffee with my good friend, Mr. Toffee. Mr. Toffee sent a yacht complete with crew. I gave up Skinner, Tupper, Toffee, no more dinner, supper, coffee. Told them that they wouldn't do, 'cause I've taken a fancy to you, honey. I ain't having no more martinis with Mr. Sweeney's. I refuse the mink I got from Mr. Link. I've surrendered my title to the Earl of Beetle Vital, and my darling Mr. Prattle, take them Texas cattle. I've taken coffee with my good friend, Mr. Toffee. Mr. Toffee's in a yacht complete with crew. I gave up Skinner, Tupper, Toffee, no more dinner, supper, coffee. Just told him they wouldn't do, 'cause I've taken, taken a fancy to you. But I'm still going rowing with Mr. Cohen. I enjoy that.
All righty, once again, Miss Pearl Bailey. And
hey, Carol, before you go on, can you imagine if Pearl Bailey were alive today and she had to sing, you know, behind drum machines and synthesizers? How do you think she'd sound?
I think she would sound tinny and not as wonderful as she sound. I mean, imagine the way they mix the strings and the trumpets, and that's not to cut down the modern music. I love it just the same, but there's something more soulful about this, the ladies of soul, Nina Simone, Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, it grabs you in places where the modern music just don't get you there, you know. And that's why I'm fortunate and happy that I was able to listen to that and grow up on it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just really love that, man. But anyway, hopefully you folk out there appreciate that. And if not, throw a rock at me and I'll play it again. Okay. Anyway, we're going to move on and talk about a couple other things. And Bob, if you're out there, I sent you the book, The Super Fairy Chronicles, and it came back to me. The situation was... number was wrong, return to sender. So if you could give me a call back here at the station, give us a clear address, and we'll be get you this. And if anybody else out there, if you give caller number 4, if you give me a call, I'll give you the Super Fairy Chronicles. Hawaii's uprising against militarism, commercialism, and the desecration of the earth, by Kuhan Pak and Jerry Mander, who was on the show here. So do feel free to give us a call. Anyway, this is the Carol Cox Show, and feel free to give us a call. And if you would, you can pull up this information at carolcox.com. So we got a bill, a couple bills of interest before the legislators, the state legislators now. And there was one in the state and the national regarding shark finning. Now, some of you may have heard a while back, shark finning was banned here in Hawaii, or the landing of shark without their fin was banned. And just give a little background on it. The process is you catch sharks, and in turn, they're alive, and you take them and you whack their fins off. And then you return them back to the ocean. And when you say the fin, you take off the tail, the dorsal fin, any fin, all the fins, they cut them off pretty much. And you then return the body or the carcass, which is still alive in most cases, back to the ocean. Some say very cruel and inhumane practice. I tend to share that opinion. And also, it's just from the standpoint, if we're out there fishing and we're consuming resources, we should be using wisely. If I'm not advocating anything, but if we are allowed to take them, then we should be using them wisely, or don't use them at all. But what this does, though, is that the state legislators a couple of years back voted and approved, passed bills that prohibited the actual shark finning and the landing of sharks without their fin here in Hawaii. But there's been a loophole, and a company that has actually been blatantly operating and landing shark fin. And that company is called RC International. And believe it or not, while it is illegal to do so, to land shark fin without the body, as per the law, our local DLNR, Department of Land and Natural Resources, you've heard and know of them, they, for some reason, won't enforce the law and prohibit this practice of bringing the shark fin in by this individual company. and they allow it to happen. But the funny thing is that this was brought to their attention a couple of years back. They claim they can't or won't enforce the law because there's a clause in it that speaks of when the fish is, or the shark is landed first. So the fish is caught in, let's say, Majuro or Marshall Islands waters, and they're landed there in Marshall Islands or Majuro. So the Department of Land and Natural Resources opinion is that they were landed first there, so therefore they are exempt from the law. But the funny part is the state never moved to solidify that law or close the loophole. So I had approached the state legislators, Ms. Karen Iwana, Representative Karen Iwana from Waianae, who was happy and did in fact submit this bill to close that loophole. And Senator Hanabusa, Colleen Hanabusa, has a state Senate bill. Excuse me. And so what is happening, the intent is to hopefully we close that loophole. Now, we're not talking about one, two, three sharks. We're talking about 7 to 11 tons of shark fin on each shipment. And these shipments come approximately once a month in containers. And so it's basically a slap in the face. We ask our local fisheries not to do shark finning, and we stand over them with loaded weapons and badges and with the threats of prosecution. But on the other hand, we stand idle and say nothing, we being the DLNR, say nothing about an individual who is actually bringing in tons of shark fin. And sitting there and processing them. And you can go to carolcox.com or envirowatch.org, and you will be able to see some of the photographs of this plant that we have taken here recently of the individuals trimming the shark fin, measuring the shark fins, and weighing them and separating them. So do feel free to go there. But the bigger problem is, out of all of this, this facility that the shark fin are delivered to are owned by the Department of Transportation, the State Hawaii Department of Transportation. Now, I'm not saying one can discriminate or should discriminate against businesses, but in this instance, there is a law that prohibits it. One agency in the state says, well, we won't enforce it, and what they're doing is legal, while I disagree and believe that they should. And by the way, they never did ask for a legal opinion, as I've asked them to ask, solicit the Attorney General's for a legal opinion stating that they don't have to enforce that or there is a loophole. Well, that never happened for the last 2 to 3 years. But the DOT rents to this facility, to this company, RC International. And what they do, they rent them the property, and there's a wastewater generated. And if you drive by there on Nimitz, you can't miss it. It has a strong smell of urine in the air. I mean, very strong from the shark fins drying. And a bigger threat is that as the shark fin thaws, it runs on the ground, and this water is running, the wastewater is running into the drains, the storm drains. And so if there's bacteria or what have you that poses threats to the species here, it goes unchecked. So what do we do with this? Again, it's just a mess. So hopefully this bill on the shark fin will, in fact, the Senate bill is 1628, and I think the House bill is 1755 or 1775. But it'll be up on the website. But these are some real concerns that we have. And this company, RC International, also imports scallops and other dried fish. And they have been inspected by FDA and others. And FDA, I'm told, have asked Mr. Wong, as this gentleman that owns this company, RC International, they don't monitor the sanitation conditions at the facility. And they've done this for years, and yet won't prosecute them and allow them to continue to process this food, and they describe the facility as being really dirty and nasty. It is just absolutely... what I'm told is that the FDA had discussed with him that they were required to monitor the sanitary conditions and give reports and of their practices. And believe it or not, they're still being allowed for year after year to operate a dirty facility, a facility that processes shark fins, dried sea cucumber, and on and on and on. And yet, they do not have the necessary sanitary requirements and conditions, and they're allowing the water to run into the city drains or the storm drains. And again, we can't get any response or any enforcement from the state. So hopefully this legislation or this bill, or these bills, will put an end to that process. We got Bob on the line. Bob, you there? Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
After all that, I don't feel too good. Because I ain't into shark finning. I don't understand why we even let that importation happen. Because aren't sharks being eliminated in the world or something? Or, you know, what's wake up? But what? Besides that, the other thing I don't like is that you said they are not monitored. Why? That's either a payoff or it's just a glitch in the law where you can get under the wire. This guy Wong. Is it Wong?
Right, Calvin Wong.
Yeah, well, that guy, we ought to pick at his house. Tell him to clean up his act, like you say. He just does anything he wants and just shoots his waste, you know, to wherever he wants. He should have a basin where he collects that stuff.
Right, well.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And pathogens, who knows? Now, I'm not speaking from a scientific background, and
you know,
I haven't.
If it comes from another place, it has stuff on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It could be bad and it could be good, but you know, who are we to judge why it's bad and good? Just don't bring it here without the right processing.
Right, and one of the things that's happening, it encourages, and we're documenting, it encourages the actual continuation of illegal people operating on the fringe,
right?
Because they can...
Wait, but everybody else can, right? I didn't think of that one. There's how many more like him doing it?
Right, well, I mean, let's say fishermen, for example. A handful of fishermen are actually still doing it. By and large, the industry frowns on it, the Hawaii longline industry frowns it, but you got some guys who like to straddle the line and I guess play loose with it. And the sad part about it, as we pointed out many times, you bring a shark on a vessel, you're subjecting your workers, number one, to a great threat, a great risk of being bitten and what have you. So you're foolhardy to even allow that practice. But what is the bigger problem is by having this facility in place, he's bringing them in and inviting others, local guys, to continue to, in the dark of night, catch shark, bring them, land them here without the shark body, and then sell them to him.
Whatever money is, things, they could care less about the resource. You know what I mean? No matter what it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I've actually taken DLNR by the hand, literally by the hand, and taking them in there, and got photographs of the DLNR conducting inspections of the facility. And at the first occasion, oh, yeah, we'll investigate it, and we're looking into it. And a year later, nothing. Second occasion, take them in, give them photographs. Oh, we're looking at it into it. And then, well, what happened to that case or that complaint? Well, the law doesn't speak to flying them in on aircraft, so therefore they're exempt.
Yeah, fire in every way you can think of it. If you go back to the last, I've had direct contact with Peter Young. Like, he was the other DNLR.
Right.
And I was in the neighborhood board, and I used to question him, pin him to the wall every single month. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He would run me around a circle, back around a circle again, and come back to the point, you know, and say, oh, let's start over again. And I'm looking at it. Just like you're saying, you do it one time, and then nothing ever happens. A year later, it just goes in one ear and out the other with them guys, with these politicians.
Yeah, because they're already predisposed of what their purpose there for. They're there to carry out the mission of the governor.
That's it. The program is you follow the program.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it seems like a lot of this stuff happened since the Linda Lee, or what?
Yeah. Well, I can only say I think there's some great truth to that, and that was going to be some of the discussions that we have.
The subject that anybody can make, if all this weird stuff is happening to our environment, and somebody's putting up a front like, oh, I love the environment, but in the background, something is happening, because if she really wanted the environment protected, all these complaints that you and I have done, and lots of other people, we're not the only Joe Blows on the block getting about what's happening. So there is a concerted effort, I think, in this administration to she puts up like, oh, I'm going to buy it and make everything nice over there. But she's doing everything else in the state that's terrible for the state. So she puts up this one thing, you know, kind of forces the people, oh, I'm okay. But really, in reality, she's not really upholding all the law.
Right. But again, now, keep in mind, I as much as I'd like to take them all out back and tar and feather them, but we have to keep in mind there are supposed to be checks and balances. So if Linda Lingle proposes something and presents it to us, there's that check that's built into the legislative body, and then there's that check that's built into the voting booth. And those two things seem to be failing us, and I don't know if the public who goes into the booth is duped by the sweet talk or our legislators. And the case in point, as we've discussed in that super ferry issue, how Linda Lingle allowed these things to develop, but then as wrong as she was or is, look who came along and condoned it. The legislators, right?
Right.
And then when that was all said and done, it was the voters who turn around and say, let's do it again. It's okay, you know. And then we got the, for example, the rail with Mufi Hanneman. I mean, you know, no environmental impact statements and feed pieces through them, manipulate it. So it's painful to watch it. I don't expect people to know all the tricks of politics.
Yeah, but I think the main tricks in politics, and when you just said them five or six paragraphs there, is this. Carol, there's a lot of dealing going on. It's tit for tat. I'll let you do this. You let me do that. And everything will just roll right along. I think exactly this state is run like that, like one wheel. And no matter what, I don't know who put up this legislation for the shark thing. What legislator did that?
You mean this recent one?
Yeah, the one you.
Representative Karen Iwana. And
oh, okay. She's out there in the ever side, isn't she?
Why and I and Senator.
Mark, yes. You know, she started voting, and she's a Republican. At least maybe she'll change the agenda with the Republicans. You know, maybe.
Well, no, she changed. Remember, she changed parties.
Democrat. Okay, I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah, we got the way around. I'm sorry. All right.
But
team or whatever, join the crowd. But she's not in the crowd. I got it mixed up. But yeah, I'm glad for her that somebody is at least caring. You know, to start it somewhere. You know?
Right. Well, Representative Kirimatsu. Telephoned me, and he's going to schedule this bill in the coming week in the House. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, I've been talking to a number of people in the past, and they talk about the Al-Makur being the shark and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, if it's...
I voted for messing with the shark.
Yeah, if it's important in that sense, I think there should be a base to come out and support that. But again, wrong is wrong, and the practice is, you may not know this, but what I've been documenting is that the ships, there's a humongous ship that cruises the oceans, the world oceans, and what it provides is oil and fuel and food and water to the smaller fishing boats from Taiwan, but in the process, they collect all of their shark fins.
Yeah, like he unloads fuel, he's loading sharks.
Exactly, and then in turn, that vessel comes right here at Pier 34.
Oh, okay, so we can boycott this guy.
Oh, no, I have every action, every specific load and what have you, but the problem is, it's the enforcement. In one instance, Customs, this guy, RC International, United States Customs, would allow a vessel to leave the shore here, local boat, and go out. It was called the Chris fishing boat. It would go out and meet the big mothership and offload 11 to 12, 10 tons of shark fin dry, bring them back, and they were supposed to be transshipped right to another country and not enter into commerce here, enter into the state of Hawaii. But what was being permitted was the United States Customs would actually give the Chris and the people in RC International, that group of people, at that time it was another company, would give them the tags that you, the seals, and they would bring them in and park the container there, offload the shark fin into the container. Customs would allow the guys to have the seal and seal it, and then they drive it 100 yards away and park it at this building where RC International now, open the container up, and then process the shark fin, and that would have then entered into commerce here. So we got some serious problems with this. But meantime, they're, as I said earlier, they're staring down the barrel of a gun at the local fishermen, the longliners, right, threatening to arrest them for if they were to land fish that didn't or that were caught and didn't have the body attached.
That's the neat, Carol. Like they can deal with the one-on-one, but the big company, they deal with them different. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The one-on-one guy, they can pin them to the bush. Like you said, the longliners, they're at the state boat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're individual boats, but for some reason, our government wants to give a courtesy to the foreigners.
Yeah.
That simply don't make sense. And
I tell you, this state is, you know, I had a friend that, he lived in Texas, and he came to Hawaii, and he said, oh, I thought corruption was bad in Texas, man. This state is on the wall corruption.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
think about what it's worth, you know what I mean, Carol? But yeah. I really appreciate what you do, and it seems like you're putting a lot of time into this effort.
Yeah, well,
but I hope that the thing passes.
Yeah, you know, I don't. I used to hear that a lot, and people would ask, "Well, we must be really, really corrupt." I think, in my opinion, there is corruption here, but I think it's exacerbated or amplified because we have such little resources available, in a sense, and they overlap. And when we invite big business, and we depend on big business, we're being more kind and courteous to the bigger business because, quote, they bring jobs and they have political implications, right? So I think that I don't know if there's.
Well, you mean you're justifying it because it does certain things to our society, but I could care less what it does to my society.
Exactly.
Concerned about the overall picture of a life on the earth itself.
Right, and that's what the point is with the military. You know, myself, and as a free man in a free nation, there are entities out there would like to see that freedom stripped. So we need a strong military. We need an active military, in my opinion, based on what I see in the world, because even my everyday activities, there are some people you do have to use force. They don't get the message. But
out there.
But on the other hand, don't, throw the baby out with the bathwater or destroy the environment while pretending to protect us from the enemy.
But don't protect me, but don't kill me in the back.
Right, you know, you were in the Army, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you sit at the time when I was in, it was the M-72 law that, you know, you could shoot a tank with it, put it on your shoulder, made out of cardboard, and boop, push the button, right? And it was so innocuous, and you see the rocket run down and hit the tank or hit your target. But you have to make sure your buddies didn't stand behind you and get hit by the back blast, right?
Yeah, right.
So we don't need the back blast in this, so to speak, in these environmental concerns with the military. We need them to be open. We need our government to be open.
To be scrutinized, they got to step up, be clean and clear in their motives and their to solve the problem. And the public will be happy. Like you say, we need a defense. There's bad guys out there. Yeah, but let's just let these everybody clean up after themselves. That's the bottom line, I think.
Oh, yeah. And as we walk, be careful where we step. I mean, if you walk through a garden, you wouldn't be just recklessly stepping over everything, right? I mean, you follow?
Yeah.
You carefully place your foot because not only do you appreciate it, you know that these flowers are delicate and there's someone took the time to arrange them and put them there. But the bigger thing is you want it to, if you enjoy it, going to that garden and seeing it, then leave it be for others to enjoy.
You irritate a lot of people, like you said. You step on my toes or my parrot, or look out.
Right. So I won't attribute it all to corruption. I think we have to understand a lot of our politicians are just not, they're inept. They're not prepared for the bigger issues. I mean, one day you are driving a school bus, and nothing is put down the school driver, the bus drivers, and then you motivated to run for politics, and you successfully win. You compete, and you might win by 300 votes, or in some instances, you may only win by 10 votes. That you're not skilled and equipped with this big city, this big effort that is out there grinding and churning. You know, so I think a lot of it is ineptness and ignorance and what these systems are demanding of our politicians. They just don't and can't comprehend, right?
Right, guys, like you said, they're well-rounded, know quite a bit about all the issues, at least in their districts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you get international, then it's like lost, like you're saying, like, whoa. The bigger picture sort of eludes them.
Yeah.
You know, the bus driver only knows his kids, you know.
Yeah. And
whatever, yeah.
Yeah, now, I mean, that could be anything. It could be a guy who had a talk show or whatever.
Yeah.
It becomes a, like myself, I may know a little, but when it comes to world issues and how intricate things work, I may know absolutely nothing. So how do I get involved in politics? I get involved and I get swept up by the old guard that's there.
That's it.
Right? Who's going to show me the way? And then you become a partisan, and then you become, and so you follow. So you get carried with the current. And so what you arrive there thinking you were going to do and why you got into politics.
You got to be dedicated. A lot of guys get in there one term and they get right out because they see they ain't going to get no work.
Yeah.
Against the wall. You know, I pity for people who are going, I know a few of them and stuff. Some of them are dedicated, but most of the ones I know, you can see a little bit of tinge of, like, you know, where they could bend that way for their doing, you know, but basically they're honest people, you know, that I know. But I there's got to be some bad guys, weird stuff going on in this state that is totally against the people. That, you know, it's just that the rail, that ain't for us, that's for big companies. If people can't see that, I'm sorry. The rail is on the surface.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm just sitting and talking and trying to shake the conscience of people, but I surely don't want to get in their minds and in their lives and dictate what they should do. And I can only offer, I won't even call it food for thought. I'll just to say, here are some of the things that you may want to incorporate into your thinking, and not that I'm right or wrong, but, you know, when someone shows up and kiss and hug your babies or sing your Valentine's song or put a CD out and sing your Christmas song and Sweet Lady of Waiholi or she's the governor we need a change and we fall in love with her, and then in turn, what do we got? We still got the same mess, you know, so it's about the voter. And that's my next point. It's about the voter. Our government is no smarter or more efficient than our people want them to be or tolerate. That's the bottom line, I believe. But anyway, Bob, we got your correct number this time. So I got to get you that book on the Super Fairy Chronicles. So thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I lost you for a second. I don't know if you heard everything, but I said you're basically talking fast. Hope the people get the message, and let's kind of get together and solve some of our problems. That's the bottom line.
Well, I'm going to extend an invite, as I had invited Ed, and we haven't heard from him, I guess. When you share with people and say, here are some facts you might want to consider, they don't call back. But
yeah.
But again, one of these days, you got to come in and share your manal with the people out there in a complete sentence rather than...
Yeah.
By the phone and over the airwaves.
Yeah, I can dig it. You know, right now, you know, Bombay, you know, right now I'm so busy, man. My time is, and I got this gigantic project, you know, that I like to talk to you about. Hey, you know, another reason I wanted to talk to you, was that guy from Ross? His name was Trevor?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, I got to get in touch with him. I'm going to do some good things with him.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, hey, I'm going to... tune in here with some more Pearl Bailey. I just feel in a good mood today. And all right? Take care.
on Easy Street. Nobody works on Easy Street. Just sit around all day. Just sit and play the horses. Life is sweet. Live on Easy Street. No weekly payments you must meet that make your hair turn gray. When opportunity comes knocking, you just keep on with your rocking. 'Cause you know your fortune's made. And if the sun makes you perspire, there's a man that you can hire to plant trees so you can have shade on Easy Street. I'm telling everyone I meet, live on Easy Street, I wouldn't want no job today. So please go away. Easy Street. I'd like to live on Easy Street. If I could live on Easy Street, job today. So please go away, go away. No job, no job today.
All right, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and I thank you for joining in. And hey, by the way, one of the things that's bugging me out there is this recent, there was a vote on the homeless not being able to sleep in the parks. Well, we saw that earlier last year, we saw that it was a major cleanup and shutdown of the parks and the move out the homeless, and we just, we got the parks clean and we put gadgets on the benches to keep the people from sleeping on the benches and all. What is that saying about us out there, folks? We all need to take a look at ourselves. We are willing to sit back like Pavlov's dogs, waiting, salivating for a bailout, which our managers and our leaders failed us in managing capitalism and what have you. And they failed, and they're injecting $850 billion or a trillion and $300 billion and to people that are flying in jets to meet and beg for more money and given bonuses. And we're out there putting nails and I think maybe the next thing the mayor and the governor are probably going to do is put out some broken glass on the benches and glue it down so that nobody gets to sleep on them. But they're not asking the U.S. attorney to prosecute and give the people that are really stealing from us and poorly managing our financial affairs of this nation. You don't hear that. So just something to think about. Let's go easy on the homeless. Let's look for a solution rather than moving them around as if they have committed a crime. That's about it. And we all got to live with ourselves if we don't live with one another. So keep that in mind. Aloha.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.